So, let me start by thanking you all for coming to my session on WebSockets. My name is Jeff Klaas, and I work as a developer for Ferranti Computer Systems, where I have been working on fire department projects for over 2.5 years now. You can find me on Twitter, and I also have a blog. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to chef.klaas@gmail.com. So, in the session, first, why do we need WebSockets? Then, what are WebSockets? And what is the state of WebSockets today? And I'm going to end the session with showing you some code I wrote for a fire department proof of concept. So first, why do we need WebSockets? Well, with the web becoming more and more interactive, we've been looking for ways to have direct communication between the browser and the server. So there are a few scenarios which I think about, such as chat applications. Think about Google Talk or Windows Live Messenger in the browser. A lot of messaging is going on all the time. You can also think about collaborative tools, such as Office Online, where you can review a document with multiple people in real time. And the popular scenario, social networking. Think about Facebook or Twitter. You don't want to refresh your page to see new status updates or see new tweets. And the coolest scenario of them all, online gaming. This is Quake running in a browser, and this was built with a technology called WebGL, and WebGL was built upon the HTML5 canvas element. So that's pretty cool, you should check that out, that's WebGL. So now you probably wonder, but haven't we been doing this for a while? And I have to agree. We've been doing this with something called Comet, and Comet is actually the name for a collection of various techniques which can leverage this functionality. So a popular technique in Comet is frequent polling. So the browser just polls the server every few seconds to see if there's new data available. So the browser sends an HTTP request, and the server immediately replies with an HTTP response. But this technique has one big disadvantage: HTTP headers. So on top you see the HTTP headers of the HTTP request, and below you see the headers of the response. So if we do some math, with every request response there are 871 bytes of overhead going over the wire of waste of bandwidth. So if we have a scenario where there are 1,000 clients which poll the server every 10 seconds, this would mean that there would be almost a megabyte of waste going over the wire each 10 seconds. Multiply this by 6, 5 megabytes a minute, multiplied by 60, almost 300 megabytes an hour, adding up to 7 gigabytes of waste going over the wire each day. Another popular technique in Comet is long polling, and this technique is somehow better. So the browser sends an HTTP request to the server, but the server doesn't immediately reply. It waits for some server-side event to trigger or until it has some data, and then it replies with an HTTP response. So for this technique, the same disadvantage, you still have the HTTP headers. Plus, there are a few programming challenges. At the browser, you have to think about managing HTTP timeouts, plus you have a limited number of HTTP connections. And at the server, you have to think about managing all those requests and responses. So Comet has been great. This Comet is actually a very creative hack built on top of HTTP to leverage this functionality. But it's far from optimal. That's why the next step is WebSockets. So what are WebSockets? WebSockets are often referred to as TCP for the web, because they provide a full duplex direct communication between the browser and the server. Where full duplex means that communication can go in both directions at the same time. So that looks like this. So the browser sends something that looks like an HTTP request to the server. The server replies to the browser. And this is them just setting up the connection. This is actually the handshake. Once the connection is set up, the browser can push messages to the server, and the server can push messages to the browser with minimal overhead. So as I said a few seconds ago, the handshake isn't actually HTTP. It just looks like HTTP, so that communication for HTTP and WebSockets can go over the same port. So a closer look at the handshake. So on top you see what the browser sends to the server. The server reads those two keys and that special value there, and then it manipulates that value, and it sends that manipulated value back to the client, and if those values are correct, the connection is set up. And once that connection is set up, they can start talking to each other. So this is what a message, a WebSockets message looks like. So we just have a start byte, the actual message, and a stop byte. So there's minimal overhead. I think the benefits of WebSockets are obvious. WebSockets is a protocol on its own, and it will be natively implemented by the browser, meaning a clean JavaScript API will be provided. There will be less throughput. Think about the HTTP headers. And with that, performance will improve. There will be less latency between calls. And the complexity will be a lot easier to manage. So, the state of WebSockets today. Well, WebSockets are part of the HTML5 applications specifications. And the WebSockets protocol and the WebSockets API specifications are still a work in progress. They're updated on a weekly, if not daily, basis. And this shines through to browser support. So the most popular browsers. First, IE9 doesn't support WebSockets yet, but because this is a Microsoft event, I should tell you why it doesn't support WebSockets yet. Well, Microsoft has a vision where they don't want to implement unstable features into their browser. And this makes perfect sense for them. There are a lot of users using IE. Plus, they have a very slow update cycle, so they just can't afford to have any security issues in their browser. Then Safari 5 and Chrome 10 do support WebSockets. Firefox 4 and Opera 11 have implemented WebSockets, but support is disabled by default. And for mobile, only Safari supports WebSockets. And I got these facts from a site which you can find at caniuse.com, and you can use this site to see which browser supports which HTML5 feature. So, browser support is poor, but the good news is that there are alternatives. And these alternatives are based on Silverlight or Flash components. So for a Silverlight example, a Silverlight component is dynamically inserted into your page, and in HTML bridge, we can use JavaScript to talk to that WebSocket client in that Silverlight component. So for the server, there are dozens of implementations out there. Just do a Google search or a Bing search and choose your favorite language, favorite platform. You probably will find an implementation. For Microsoft guys, we probably want to have a look at the WCF implementation. And you can find this at html5labs.interoperabilitybridges.com. And this is the place where Microsoft puts out experimental slash prototypes of HTML5 features. The Silverlight workaround I talked about in the previous slide also is provided by Microsoft. So this was the small theoretical part. Now let's have a look at some code. But first I'm going to quickly show you some of the fire department background. So why I think that WebSockets are an awesome match for the fire departments? Well, firemen care about their information, and they want to get that information out there as soon as possible. So there are a few things we've built, such as information screens. So each station has a few dozen information screens hanging against the wall, and as soon as there is an intervention, these information screens will show intervention information plus which units are deployed there. Then there is paging. As soon as the unit is dispatched, each fireman in this unit will receive a paging message. There's also just-in-time printing, meaning when a vehicle is dispatched, a few papers will roll out the printers, and these papers will show useful information about the intervention, such as the ideal routing map, the fire hydrant, etc. There are also a few websites in place. which had the purpose to make information available as soon as possible. So the first one is NetViewer, and this isn't something that Ferranti made, but one of our partners. And what you see here is an SVG-based map, which displays ongoing interventions, plus locations of the vehicles. So each vehicle is equipped with an AVL module, which sends its coordinates over GPRS to our system. And this is where WebSockets could come into play. With WebSockets, we could push these coordinates to the browser so that we could redraw part of the map and that you could see the vehicles driving around on the map. Another website, a more simple one, is the current incident website. And this just shows you a table of ongoing interventions with some intervention information, such as type, subtype, address, dispatched vehicles, etc. And for this site, I made a proof of concept using WebSockets. So a quick look at the architecture of this demo. So I've written a mini dispatcher, and in this dispatcher, you can create a new intervention or close an existing intervention. And this dispatcher sends packets to the WCF WebSocket server, and this WebSocket server then forwards all these packets to the connected Silverlight clients / browsers. And then again, the technology used in this demo is the one you can find at html5labs.interoperabilitybridges.com, the place where Microsoft makes non-stable or experimental HTML5 features available. So some code. So I'll just first show you the mini dispatcher. This is actually a simple, very simple WPF application. Visual Studio stops loading, I'm going to show you. So very simple application. You can fill in an address, choose an intervention type, such as fire, ambulance, or other. And you can choose a priority, high, medium, or low. Then you can create a new event or a new intervention. And you can also close an existing intervention based on the address. So a quick look at the code behind this application. So two important parts, the event handlers of the button new event and the button close event. So I just get a new event object from my UI. This is actually just a simple object with a few properties, such as packet type, address type, and priority. Then I serialize that to XML, and then I send the packet. The same happens in the close event handler, but instead of a new event, I'm getting a close event object. This is a simpler object, so it only has an address and a packet type. So a look at the send packet method. I'm using old school UDP here. So I'm creating a new UDP client, pointing it to a certain host name, which is my local host, and to a certain port. And then I'm just sending the packet. So this was my mini dispatcher. Now let's have a look at our WCF WebSocket server. And this is the WCF service class. So I have a GET subscription service class, which inherits from WebSocket service class. And this is a system class provided by the prototype. Let's have a look. And this is just an abstract class which allows you to override parts of its behavior. So such as dispose, on close, on error, on message, or on open. Also notice the send method. We're going to use this later. I also decorated this class with the service behavior attribute and set the instance context mode to per session, meaning a new object of this class will be created every time a WebSocket connects. And I set the concurrency mode to multiple, meaning I should think about threading and locking my resources. Then in this class I have a static cat message dispatcher instance, and this is a class I wrote my own, and this just handles all the messaging. So in this class I'm listening for incoming UDP messages, and I'm forwarding these messages to the connected WebSocket clients. So I've overwritten two methods here, the onOpen and the onClose method. And on the onOpen method, I'm just adding this current instance of this current WebSocket session to my message dispatcher. And I'm calling the onOpen method on the base class. And I'm doing the same thing in the onClose, but instead of adding it, I'm removing that instance again. I'm also calling the onClose method on the base class. So let's have a quick look at our cat message dispatcher class. So this class just starts a thread, which listens. So I just define an IP endpoint. So I'm listening on this port on any IP address. I'm creating a new UDP client in which I'm passing my endpoint. And here I start listening. So here I'm listening. And as soon as I receive a packet, I'm converting that XML to JSON. And then I'm logging my sessions, my connected WebSockets. And I'm iterating over the sessions. And then I'm sending that JSON string to each connected WebSocket session. So one more thing to show you in this project. So this is actually just a simple console application. And so I need to host, I need to set up the host myself. So I create a new WebSocket host, pass in my own implementation, our cat subscription service. And I also need to pass in a URI. And this URI is WS, machine name, port 4502/subscribe. And this is something special, the WS. This is actually the prefix for the WebSockets protocol. And if you're using WebSockets with SSL, this becomes WSS. Once I've created my host, I'm going to add my WebSockets endpoint, and I'm going to open my host. So I'll just run. And you can see that my WebSocket is listening on this address. Now let's have a look at our client. And this isn't doing anything yet. We're going to implement this code together. So what you see here, I'm sorry, designers, it's nothing pretty, but it's just a simple table which will display ongoing interventions. So for each intervention, it will show the location and the type, and it will also show a timestamp here. Let's open this page. Okay, and let's have a quick look at the script dependencies. So first jQuery, nothing special, but this is something special, the jQuery.silverlight-websockets.js script. And this is a script where all the magic happens, actually. I'll just open that script. This is provided by Microsoft as well. I'm not this smart. So if socket's name and if my document is ready, it's dynamically inserting our Silverlight component. So you can see that here. And if this plugin is loaded, a new WebSocket draft object, a new global WebSocket draft object is created. And this is actually just a wrapper for all the communication with the Silverlight component through the HTML bridge. So you can see the onOpen, onMessage, onClose methods being defined here. So this makes it possible to use Silverlight and being able to talk to it using JavaScript. It feels like it's natively implemented. So back to my actual implementation. So if my document is ready, and my Silverlight WebSockets are ready, I'm gonna open my connection, and I'm doing this using an interval of 1 second, so that if my server reboots or if my connection drops, it's gonna retry to connect. So in my open connection, if the ready state of the connection is undefined or the ready state is greater than 1, meaning it's not open, we're gonna open our WebSocket. So I'll just say connection is new WebSocket. It's broken. Oh. Still there? Switch? Okay. So, a new WebSocket draft object, this is our WebSocket, and we're going to pass in a URI to our WebSocket's endpoint. This was ws/host4502/subscribe. And then we want to hook up two functions. Switch. This should be better. So we were about to hook up two functions, the unopen function. So, and in this function we'll just say success. The connection is now open. Then we also want to hook up the unclose function. And we'll just show something like fail, the connection is no longer open. Remember, I've set two breakpoints in my CAT subscription service, one in the unopen method and one in the onclose. Now one in the onclose method. So if I now refresh this page, nothing happens. Probably made a typo or something. There we go. So now my WebSocket is being opened. You can see my unopen method being the breakpoint in my unopen method being hit. My connection is now open, and if I now close my browser, the connection will be closed. This breakpoint is hit again. Nothing spectacular here, but now let's implement we're going to start listening for messages coming from our WebSocket server. So I'll just say connection.onMessage. And now I need to sheet. So I just defined two objects, the packet data object and a new data object. Then I grab my data property from my event argument, and I parse that to a JSON object, and now I can see if packet data dot packet type equals new event, I'm gonna prepend a row to my table, add a new intervention, and if it equals close event, I'm gonna remove that row again. Open this page again. And now I should be able to create a new intervention somewhere in Brussels, type set to fire and a priority set to medium, and there it is. So now I've sent a packet from my mini dispatcher to my WCF WebSocket server to my connected Silverlight client. So that's pretty awesome. I'm going to open a few more browsers. Chrome and Firefox. Remember, this is using a Silverlight shim, meaning that it's cross-browser as long as Silverlight is installed. So you could even use WebSockets in IE6 or something. So I'll just create a new intervention, this time somewhere in Antwerp. Type set to fire again, and the priority set to high. And I'll create a new event. And there are all my browsers are instantly updated. So I can just say somewhere in Hale. That's where I live. Who knows where that is? It's more than usual. So I create a new intervention. There you go. Very fast. Just spam my server. So this server push is getting really, really easy with WebSockets. I'll just close them now. Close the last one. There you go. So one more thing. We're now listening for messages coming from our WebSocket server. If I wanted to send a message from my browser to my server, I could just do connection.send your data or whatever. And this would be the method you would use, just the send method. And then at the server, you would override the onMessage method, and your value is then in your in this JSON value. So do something with your data here. So this was my first demo. I actually have another one. And I made the second one just in case that I had a problem with my mini dispatcher. But I'll just show you. I have some time left. And so now there is no mini dispatcher giving any input. That's why I've changed my cat message dispatcher class. So I just create a new timer and pass in my anonymous method here. So I create a new event packet, Brussels fire high. I serialize that object JSON. That's here. Then I log my sessions and iterate over my sessions and just forward all the JSON strings. And I'm doing this every 500 milliseconds. So this should give you an idea of how stable or how good WebSockets actually work. And I've ruined it. Should first start a few browsers. Now I should start my server. See how fast that is? And it's we haven't done a lot of coding, and this just it just works really well. So you can see the events being added. I could be a little more extreme, I guess, and just make this 50 milliseconds. And start. You can see the events being added. So there are a few scenarios where this would be, where you could do some fancy things with WebSockets. So this was my demo. A few things to take with you. WebSockets will probably dominate Comet in the future, but WebSockets aren't quite ready yet. So a few recommended resources. First, the WebSockets API specifications at the W3C. Go there to see what you can do with the browser API itself. Then go to html5labs.interoperabilitybridges.com to find the Microsoft prototype. And you should also check out the blog of that interoperability team. They tend to blog a lot about the underlying protocol, also interesting. And shameless plug here. Also go to my blog and search for WebSockets. I've done a few posts on the internals of WebSockets.